meeting, and we've been building these last few weeks, looking at the ministry and what we're doing and where we're going. If you're visiting with us, we're studying through the Gospel of John, and we take that verse by verse. But the last few weeks, we've just paused and just kind of taken an opportunity to look inside of us, ourselves, and just who are we, where are we going, and just making sure. Sometimes it's good to just rehearse and remember foundational things. And so a few weeks ago, we started that journey. I thought this video clip was appropriate. It was done, the missionary's name that was speaking there was Dave, and he's a missionary in Albania. And we support the other guy with Frontline Missions, Tim Kazee. And in that, he made it real simple there for us. The main thing for us is to keep the main thing. And we can't lose sight of that. Not with all the distractions that we have. And I really appreciated Jack's prayer. For us here, it's not about doing church. It's not about some sort of hierarchical or some sort of institutional church functionality that we're interested in. I'm not interested in just doing or playing church. I want to stay focused. I don't want to get cute. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to serve or honor a carnival Jesus. What I want to do is keep it simple, keep it biblical. And the Bible prescribes for us four very basic things: the Word, fellowship of the body, prayers, and then meeting people and telling them about Jesus. Evangelism is what we call it. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about these four basic things. And these four basic things are found in Acts chapter 2. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 2, we're going to take a look at these four things. There we go. First one we're going to look at is the ministry of the Word in just a minute, but I want to read the passage, Acts 2. Look at verse 42, and we're going to read down through verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 down through verse 47 this morning. The Bible says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved." If you remember back on January the 1st, I talked on a macro level and I asked the two basic questions. One was, what is God's? I couldn't answer that for you. You had to answer that. And then within that macro question was another one that was a little bit smaller, but on a larger scale as well than the day-to-day stuff we looked at last week. But was, whose image are you made in? The answers to these two questions will really help us to provide a foundation of how we approach life. However we answer those questions will tell us kind of how we act and how we live and why we do what we do. Now, there are other questions, larger questions that we didn't look at, but I didn't want to get too broad or too specific or look at too many different things. Remember, sometimes these little shiny things come up and we can get distracted. So I want to stay on point. I wanted to look at from that perspective. And then last week what we did is we got a little bit more narrow, macro to the micro, and we have to understand that we were not just created to exist. There was intentionality in our creation. God created Joe for a reason. God created Dirk for a reason. God created and all of our names for a reason. We are not just here to exist. There was intentionality in that creation. And so therefore, I argued last week, there should be intentionality in our living. We should not be just part of the norm existing like most people do day by day. But there should be radical living, there should be radical giving, and there should be radical living, giving, and planning in our lives, using our time wisely. I tell you, it's been a blessing. I was talking with a fellow this morning, and I'm still new here, only been here 5 months. But in these 5 months, I really have seen your amazing giftedness from day one when we were living in somebody else's house, and from that day when I met, we got to know Anne Marie just a little bit better that one morning when she brought over some Schneiders, which I'm still a little disappointed or a little upset because she introduced me to them, and now I have to have them more often. That's all her fault. But just starting in that day one until, it's just been, you are a blessing, and I've seen your giftedness and your love for the Lord. I've seen intentionality and radical living and giving and planning. But I don't want to just stop. I don't want it to just happen because there's a new guy here or because there's whatever. I want us to live a life of intentionality together for the next 400 years together. Now, we're not going to all be here that long. But maybe 20 years or 30 years that we have together or whatever it is, or 40 years. I don't know what God's plan is. But I want us to live together intentionally because we weren't just created to exist. And this, living with intentionality, is not normal. There are churches that are scattered across this state, this central Ohio area, in Virginia and New York and all over the country that are just existing. There's no intentionality in the way that they function and the way that they live and the way that they operate and how they exist. They just do that. And I want us to be so countercultural, so against the norm, even for churches, where we're glorious lights that shine, where we're seasoned tellers that attract people to Jesus, where we are graceful personalities that share Jesus Christ, and it doesn't with people that we live next to and people that we work with and the occasional person that we run into. We've got to be intentional. And what Acts 2:42 through verse 47 does for us is it informs how we can be and should be the foundation of intentionality when it comes to us together. Not just us individually, but us together. How do we do us together in this thing we call Berean? We built a building, 40-some years ago. We come together. We've been doing it for that long. So is that just the way life is? Do we just do it? We've got a building. We drive in. We say, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Let's get some coffee every once in a while. And that's just life. Is that the way it should be? And I submit to you this morning, that is just existing. So I want to challenge us this morning, and I want to set some goals. I want to challenge you individually, but also us, as we looked out of Acts 2:42, us together, what this first group of believers in this church time, the first time that they had a church as we know it, what did they do? How did they live and function? And I think it's prescriptive, not just descriptive. Now, the prescriptive part, the first thing that we're going to see is the ministry of the Word. What I am not going to address today is the descriptive stuff of how we do that. That will grow, and that will happen, and that will change in the days and the months and the years to come. Like, I pray, and I hope someday, I would love to see additional instrumentation. Wouldn't that be great to see a guitar and cello? Man, a cello, man, that would be to die for, right? Everybody loves cello music. Just additional stuff. Like, I'd love to see, maybe we could get special groups singing, not led by me. That's horrible. Maybe we could, you just see what I'm saying? So we're going to put meat on the bones as time goes on. That's not what we're addressing this morning. What we are addressing is the skeletal stuff that we should do and be intentional about all the time. That should never change. And so I want to look at these four things this morning. First of all, the ministry of the Word. we should continually keep the Scriptures accurately taught and biblically modeled all the time, without fail, as Berean Bible Church. What I want to do this morning, as we look at each of these four different main points, is we're going to look at multiple passages, okay? Please turn there if you can keep up. Don't get frustrated. The verses are not going to be on the screen, but you can write them down and look at them later if you can't, if it's just a lot, okay? John chapter 5 and verse 39, ministry of the word. John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." Now, in that context of that passage, which we will get to probably sometime in June, in that passage, it's speaking there negative in a negative context to the Pharisees. But what is neat to see out of that is the truth that it is they that bear witness about me. What do we have the Scriptures for? Because, as the missionary said, the Scriptures in our preaching should what? Point to Christ. These Scriptures that we have, whether you have it as a paper copy or you have it on your phone, like what Jason read this morning, these point us to Jesus Christ. He is our life. He is why we're here. He is what we want to share with other people. So therefore, we've got to keep the ministry of the Word a priority at Berean Bible Church. Continue to do that as we have been doing. They bear witness about Jesus Christ. Remember, it started back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, where we were told, right, that someone was going to come. Verse 15, the very first mention of the good news. Genesis 3:15. There's coming a day when someone's going to come and is going to deal a death blow to this one we call Satan. Thank the Lord we have a book that tells us about Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And how from a child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise for salvation that through faith in Christ Jesus." The Bible tells us how people can know Jesus, but not only when we get to know Jesus, we're confronted with Him and why He came. This leads people to Christ. It's the power of God. God uses the Word through the Holy Spirit to make people wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. Not only after we have heard about Jesus and we know Jesus, then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." After these things, then we have the Word that helps us to be able to grow in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful that God just didn't leave us to ourselves? You know, He said, "Be ye holy." Man, it would be pretty tough to be holy if we didn't have this Word. That would be very frustrating. And I would submit to you that God wouldn't be God, because He would ask us to do something and not tell us how to do it. That's not right. But what has God given us? He's given us His Word to be able to help. So this is really beautiful language in 2 Corinthians 3. There's a preposition there, a P is the name, and it has this I idea, and it's used twice, where it's building, and it kind of gives you the picture of building upon building upon building. So you're changed, it says, from glory to glory. It's this building thing. You know, isn't it amazing that Christ, that God does not expect you to be holy, completely holy, the moment that you have been redeemed? I mean, thank the Lord that He gives you wiggle room, right? He allows you to grow. He allows you to mess up and to get back up and to keep on keeping on. And that's what the Word of God allows us to do. It helps us to see us for who we really are and helps us to continue to grow to be more like Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and with teaching." Simply put, we always keep the preaching and the teaching of the Scriptures a priority. Remember, there's an illustration of this in Acts chapter 2, right? The church is growing just short time after what we read in chapter 2. The church is growing and growing and growing, and there's a group of the 12 believers, and they're studying Scripture, right? And it has grown so much that there's now some mumbling that's going on in the people. And they said in verse number 2, we shouldn't leave to serve tables. And then we have the choosing right of the first what? Church servants. Choose you 7 men and have these folks attend to these widows. You see, the preaching or the teaching of the Word of God has got to stay priority here at Berean Bible Church. That's why we have Sunday school classes. We don't have Sunday school classes so the kids can come and sing Kumbaya and feel good about themselves. They probably don't even sing that song anymore, right? It's not just so they can come and they can make a little sheep out of, what do you call that stuff? Cotton balls. Right. It's not why we do church. We don't do church. We live church. That's not what it's about. It's about exposing them to the Word of God. I love it when my boys come home after Sunday school, after their life group, and they've got a picture colored, and the coloring's horrible, but they remember the story. I want our children to always be exposed. I want us as adults, no matter if you're an adult too, but life group, the chosen group I hear this morning, or you'll be an adult one, my lesser life group. We were going to, and there's intentionality in exposing you. There's a reason why we have this preaching time. And so I want us to intentionally put ourselves in a place to hear it. This takes discipline on our part. For us, this is mission critical. This is a mission critical for us. And this is something that we cannot waver on. So, here's the specific challenge for 2017. Examine your commitment to the ministry and to the Word and commit yourself to be exposed to the Word of God. If the only place, you say, well, I come week after week. If the only place that you place yourself under is the teachings from this pulpit on Sunday mornings, then I challenge you maybe to think about joining a life group. It is sometimes difficult to get up a little bit earlier. It is difficult, but I would think most people, what time do you have to be to work? At 8? 9? You can be here. Just discipline yourself because you want to be exposed to the Word of God. Now, we're going to start with these life groups this coming Sunday. Maybe that's a way where you can start off and put yourself in a position to be exposed just one more time. So that's us as a group. You individually, maybe the only time you place yourself under and expose yourself to the teaching of the Word of God is with life groups and is with the preaching on Sunday mornings. I would challenge you to develop the area of your personal study. Out in the back, in the hallway there on the bulletin board, there are chronological read through the Bible guides for you, just as a tool to help. You can get, there's probably a billion apps for that. There's one app called Reading Plan that you can use on your iPad or your iPhone. That's what I use. I challenge you to use that. Do something to where you personally, if the only time you're exposing yourself to the Word of God is here corporately or in the life groups, I challenge you this year to make a difference to expose yourself personally to the Word of God more in your personal Bible study. If you say, I don't know how to do that, Pastor, there are a lot of people here that do. Talk to one of us. Talk to me. Talk to Donovan, to Lee. Talk to one of us. We can show you how you can do that more effectively. Okay, so there's the challenge for you individually, and then for us as a church. As a church, if it's only Sunday mornings, this corporate time, I challenge you to be here starting next week, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for your life group. Second thing that we see from the text is not only the ministry of the Word, but the fellowship of the body in this passage. In verse 45, it says, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, as I mentioned last week in radical giving, the teaching here is not that we should all this week go and put a for sale sign in front of our house, and then we will build rooms and have some sort of commune here. No, that's just weird, right? And that's not biblical. What it is based, the teaching there, it's getting at your heart, is what it's, and it's basically, we need to have sacrificial love for each other. We need to know what's going on, and we need to be willing to give of ourselves and our resources and our time to the other people in this ministry. So, if you need help with something, lend your hand. If you're skilled at something, remember we talked about radical living last week? You might have abilities that other people don't have. Lend your hand to do that. Help each other out. Live together in a body. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 45. Verse 46 says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous heart." That means getting together outside of Sunday. I would love to do this right now, but I know it's just something you don't do, which makes me want to do it more. But if I was to say to Ed and Charlotte over here, "All right, stand up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stand up. And everybody's, or actually, let me do it this way. Whoever's been, if you've invited Ed and Charlotte over to your home, you stand up. Now, don't do it. But I wonder how many of you have invited them to your home in the past. Now, they've been here quite a long time, since I think before peanut butter and jelly. But you've been here a long time, right? So that might be a bad example. But what about the Conants? How many of you have had them in your home? Or what about Jack? Or what about, you see what I'm saying? This day-by-day stuff, and that doesn't mean every day, but the principle behind it is that, do you get together outside of the building? Are you doing life together? That's the fellowship of the body, where we are able to fulfill, as Donovan mentioned earlier, the fulfill the one another commands, which we're going to look at here again, because we need to be reminded. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is bearing loads together. There are people in our church that are hurting, that we need to help bear that load. And sometimes the only thing we can do is pray, right? But at least we can do that. Maybe there's a financial need, or maybe there's something, and we can just bear the load together. Maybe there is, and you fill in the blank, maybe we can bear that load together. I hope that as well, that requires us to be able to tell each other too, which I hope that we can do. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "So then as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." Here's the idea of doing this idea of where it says, let us do good. You know what that means? That literally means doing excellence for another's well-being. Being excellent for another's well-being. Don't give people our second best, what's left over. But you know what that requires in us to do intentionally? It requires us to be some intentional planning that we talked about last week, remember? Where we actually give people our time. And not what's left. Well, I'll get to you maybe. And you know, when we say that, does it ever happen? Never happens, does it? Actual, real, physical calendar planning that goes on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works." This is the spiritual uplifting and loving confrontational challenges that we give to each other. That word confrontational, by the way, is not a bad word. It's not a negative word. It's speaking into somebody else's life, things, loving things, edifying things, things that are seasoned with grace. It's the kind word. It's the challenging word. It's the question that's asked. It's the thing, "Hey, I'm praying for you," so on and so forth. James chapter 5 and verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. This is the idea of transparent living before each other. John chapter 13, a new commandment, 13 verse 34 and verse 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Verse 35, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So sometimes I get this one right, not all the time. So this last week, I was up at Kroger, the one right up here, right off of Sawmill, was running in to get a sandwich. And this lady got out of her car about the same time I did, and she was walking real slow, and I think she had a cane, if I remember right. So I just walked over to her and said, "Hey, you want my arm?" And she looked at me like I was from another planet. I mean, she's like, "Why, yes, I would." So she took my arm, and it was a little slick that day too, and we walked in, and you'd have just thought somebody gave her a $1 million check. It was just different for her. And I just thought, why? You know, this is the loving other people part. We don't always get it right. I know. I definitely don't. But when we do get it right, those are the reactions we get. So why? Let's just keep doing it. You know? Let's love people. Man, there is something different about that lady, or there's something different about that guy. They're different. It's because we love people. This is great. This is what marks us as different than a lot of people, than the world. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's the idea of the one another command of humble living demonstrated by submission and modesty, no matter what our age is, where we prefer one another. Let us ask this question. Do we do this well, these passages? Do we do them well? Our goal should be intentionality and intentionally involved, being involved with each other. That means we have to let people in. That means we have to communicate. That means we cannot be pretentious. That means we have to be trustworthy. That means we, all of these things. But let's do this radically together. That's, again, why we have these life groups. That's why we have people using, we want people to use their gifts. Remember last week I said, what's your spiritual gift? And if you didn't know, I gave you that ElmerTowns.com or whatever spiritual gifts test. Do that. It's not foolproof, but it would help you. It's a good tool. So that way, people that are good at visiting folks or preparing meals or ushering or praying in public or reading scripture or nursery, helping with the children or cooking or being at prayer breakfast or helping with groundskeeping, working in the kitchen, help with the bulletin boards. This is us doing life together. These are different ways that we can serve each other. This is fellowship of the body. And so for 2017, I want to challenge us. I want to challenge all of us here together as a group, as a church, to be intentionally involved in no less than one ministry. Be intentionally involved in nothing less than one ministry. One thing that you do to invest your life into this body, where you invest yourself into the people of this church. That's our goal and our challenge for 2017. As a church family, don't just come and be a sponge. Invest in other people that are here. Be involved in something. And then for us as individuals, being intentionally or radically different, take those giftings and those abilities and that kindness and that love and that joy that you should have in your life and invest in at least one neighbor, one or one coworker. You say, well, I'm already doing that. Well, keep on up your game then. However you want to couch that. Up it. Be a little bit more intentional or a little bit more frequent or maybe engage them a little bit in a different way. But let 2017 be a year where the fellowship of the body, where we radical giving, living, and planning affects how we are with each other. Be involved in one, no less than one area of ministry And it doesn't matter how old you are. I just got a letter this week from Myron and Rita, and they want me to tell you all hello. So hello from the Porters in warm, sunny, non-rainy right now, non-icy California. Hello from them. And they said, hey, this is what's going on with us right now. We're looking at getting involved in this children's ministry. How old? 78? Something like that? Huh? Or okay, got my numbers backwards. 87. 87 years old. Wow. And getting involved in the children's ministry. That's wonderful. So, you know, let's be involved, okay? Young people, be involved. Invest in each other's lives. All right, number three. We move on. Number three, prayer. This is conversation with God. I want us to make sure we understand that prayer is not some sort of mystical thing. Because if we think it's a mystical type of thing where we have to do certain things and act a certain way and have a certain posture or bow our head and close our eyes and have, you know, do certain things, then we're going to be really frustrated. Really, really frustrated in our life, Christian lives. Prayer is simply talking to God. You can do this at any time, by the way, while you're driving down the road. Now, when you get to a stop sign and there's or a stoplight and there's people on both sides, you could stop for a second so they don't think you're weird, like you're talking to yourself. No, I'm just joking. But you can do it while you're driving. You can do it in the shower. You can do it when you're running. You can do it when you're whatever. You can always talk to God. The Bible tells us here that this really is a fuel that fires what we're going to do around here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and the mother, the Mary of Jesus, and his brothers. Noticed how many people this involved. It didn't matter race. It didn't matter gender, location, whatever. All people did it. Prayer is for all people. Acts 4, verse 23 and through verse 29. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The king of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate. Verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. You see, they came together and they prayed for boldness. I think the principle here is that they came together and they prayed for things together. I'm very burdened for this, and that's why on February the 1st, starting at 6:30 p.m., on the first and the third Wednesdays of each month, we're going to have a Kyrie service. It's spelled, it looks like Kyrie. You can say Kyrie if you want. And as I mentioned last week, no, we're not going to have a LeBron service or a Love service or a whatever. We're not going to a Kevin service. This is from an old word, Kyrie eleison, meaning Lord have mercy. Specifically on us. Lord, have mercy on us. And so on the first and the third Wednesdays of the month, at 6:30 p.m. when we start, we're going to get together and we're going to ask the Lord to have mercy on us. I have a prayer sheet that I'll give you each of those Wednesday nights. And it's going to be, we're going to pray about things here. We're going to pray about gospel advancement, both here locally. We're going to pray for local pastors. We're going to pray for pastors in different states that are connected to here that we know about. We're going to pray for Josh. We're going to pray for my friend Lee and Lewis Center. We're going to pray for Pastor Eric. We're going to pray for Dan and Johnstown. We're going to pray for we're going to pray for gospel advancement because this is the only place that shares the gospel. We're going to pray for our missionaries. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to get together and we're going to beg God for his mercy upon us because this is what's going to fuel us. Acts chapter 13 says, Now there were in the church at Antioch priests, prophets, and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius and Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them off. Chapter 14 and verse 23, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and with fasting, they committed them to the Lord and whom they had believed." Here's the point. There was a culture of prayer in this church. We have got to have a culture of prayer. Not only will we know who to appoint, we also know what direction we should go. We'll know if we should do something or not do something. And we're going to see the Lord answer prayer. And when we see the Lord answer prayer, we're going to trust Him more. And so I want us to pray and have a culture of prayer here at Berean Bible Church. Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. See, they prayed together through the tough times, both individually, but we also need to do that corporately. Just like, and when they had said these things in Acts chapter 20, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on part of all, and they embraced Paul and they kissed him because he was leaving and they weren't going to see him again. In chapter 21, "And when they had departed from there, they set sail. And we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and we set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and the land of Tyre. And from there the ship was unloaded its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days." So they're traveling all over the place. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. "Paul, don't go." "When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with their wives and their children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach," what a great place to pray, right? On the beach. "And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell one to another. Then we all boarded the ship and they returned home." You see, this is how it works. We pray and the Spirit directs us. They said, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Because you know what's going to happen if you go? They're going to kill you." And so they traveled around. "Paul, don't go yet. They're going to kill you. It's not time." So they stayed someplace for 7 more days. "Paul, don't go." But finally they departed. Paul went, and Paul was killed. I want to be a church that knows what's coming. I want to be a church that knows maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should do this. I want to be a church that knows because we're asking God. You know Nehemiah? Remember Nehemiah went to the king and he asked for 3 things. "I want your credit card." Because he said, "I want all of this stuff." Remember all these resources? Okay, so your kid comes to you and says, "I want your credit card." What do? You don't even answer him because it's not even a legitimate request, right? Nehemiah said, "I want your credit card." Then he said, "I want an unlimited vacation." "Well, how long is it going to take you to do this?" "I don't know." We know he was there maybe 8 years, 12, we don't know. It was a long time. Then he said, "I want your power." "What do you mean you want my power?" "Yeah, give me these letters so that way I can go wherever I want to go freely." How did he know? Well, I believe he knew because if you start in chapter 1 when the man came, his brother, and when his fellow Jewish brother came and told him what was going on, from that very first instance, every time you read about Nehemiah, what's the first thing he does? Every time he prays. So how did Nehemiah know how to ask the king those things? I think because he prayed. And God just told him to. Just led him to. That's who I want us to be. And so we need to pray. We need to pray. So here, this is mission critical for us. And so here's the application in 2017. I want you to pray that when we come back a year from now and we get together and in January of 2018, we're talking about vision and goal for 2018. I want you to pray that we'll be different than we are today. Will you do that? Pray that will be different than we are today. I want you to pray for you individually that you'll be different than you are today. One of the things that I've challenged people to do over the years is to kind of just take a little spiritual inventory of yourself and kind of just write that down somewhere. Like, here's kind of where I'm at and what's going on in life. And then, like in 6 months or a year from now, go back and look at that and see if you're any different. It really will encourage you. I hope it will encourage you. So pray that we'll be different, but that you'll be different as well individually. Now, one other thing that I want us to pray about. When did we have the men's prayer breakfast? First week in December, was it? Was it December, November? December 10th. Okay, so about a month ago, I asked the men at the men's prayer breakfast. I challenged us to be leaders of this church, and I wanted to start with this. I challenged them to pray and to ask God for direction about how many families we wanted to see partner with us in 2017, and how many people we as a body of believers wanted to see accept Christ. Now, the answer to both of those is 1 million, right? I mean, come on, right? We know that. But realistic goals that we can set for ourselves, and I asked the men, give me your feedback. Give me your feedback. What do you think? And there was a variety of different numbers. But there was a ballpark area in which there was some unity. And so here's what I want us to pray for in 2017. I want us to pray that we'll see 5 families partner with us together in 2017. 5 families that will come and be excited about Christ like we're excited about Christ. They'll be on board with us. And they'll partner together with us in 2017. 5 families. That's what I want to pray for us as a goal. Okay? I'm not putting God in some sort of box or limiting him. If he wants to do 2, that's God's business. If he wants to do 22, that's God's business. But what I want to have before us is a reachable, attainable and goal and something that we can pray about. Okay? 5 families in 2017. Fourth, fourth, what I want to look at here is in Acts 2:42 through the end of that chapter, verse 47, meet people and tell them about Jesus. That's another mission critical, foundational thing where we as a church family, not only the ministry of the word, fellowship of the body, and prayer, but meeting people and telling them about Jesus. This, I don't think that we do so well right now. And I want us to do better. Something that's really hard for us to admit and to look at in introspection, to look at ourselves as a church family, is when is the last time we have seen somebody accept Christ, become a part of this, partner with us together in this church family? When is the last time that that's happened? Whenever that is. Again, I've only been here 5 months. Maybe it was soon before, I don't know. Whenever that is it happening enough? Or when was the last time that happened? We led somebody to Christ and now they're here. Now, sometimes maybe you led somebody to Christ and they're from a different state and they're growing somewhere else. And I get those sorts of things. But if we're honest and we put our cards on the table, how are we doing in this area? I know it's God that gives the increase. I know that it's we just continue to water and plant seeds. But I want us to one of the things I want us to pray for is to pray that we can pick fruit. All right? It really is as simple as Hasif Luke said on that. Meet people and tell them about Jesus. We all have to share what Jesus did for us, how Jesus rescued us from our sin. John chapter 1 and verse 42. And he, that was Andrew, brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas." You see, Andrew was intentional. Just a few verses later in verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip was intentional. Acts 17, verse 16. "Now, while they were waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, how he saw all the city was full of idols." That's Paul. And verse 30, that he said to the group at Areopagus, he said, "The times of ignorance are overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." You see, Paul addressed and was intentional, even in the public square. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Do you know that the command in this verse is not to go? That word is not a command in the original language. Literally, what the original language says is this: because you have gone. The command is to make disciples. Now, when we understand it the way that it was written, do you understand how convicting that is? When Matthew writes this, or when God has Matthew write this, it's almost like God is saying, "I assume that you're going because you're believers." It's like he assumes we're already telling people about Jesus. And I have to take a step back and say, there's many times that that's just not naturally part of my life. God, you can't assume that with me. But the command there is for us, or the encouragement for us, is to go and to make disciples, because he assumes we're going. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to all over the world." We need to use our personal testimony to help rescue other people. Romans chapter 10. "And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." We've got to share Christ with people, because that's the way faith comes. Bereans simply meet people and tell them about Jesus. This is why we do the Ronald McDonald House. This is why we're going to learn and do a better job of engaging our community. I sat down, what day was it, Dirk? I think it was Thursday or Friday. I sat down, the folks from the American Cancer Society came in. And we talked about us as a church individually getting involved in a Relay for Life event, where they would know it's our church, and they would say, "Hey, there's a church that cares in the Dublin community." Why? Because we've got to let our light so shine before men. We need to be a part of this community. And so we need to meet people and tell them about Jesus as a group and also individually. So here's the challenge for us in 2017. Maybe you don't tell anybody about Jesus. Remember, there's different personalities, and I get that. Some of you might be just as timid to look at somebody in the eyes. Some of you have never met a stranger. Wherever you are on that spectrum, let's say you're the timid person. Just start with a tract where you purpose to give out one a month, one a week, and be faithful to that. We've got to do a better job of engaging our community. Set a goal, if you've already talked to people, set a goal of talking to people, not just whenever, but intentionally once a month or two people or whatever. Just set goals. Again, one of the things that I asked the men at the prayer breakfast was for that number. And here's the number. We need to pray, and we need to do our job in engaging our community. And what we're going to pray for in 2017 is for four individuals to be rescued from their sin this year. We're going to pray that God would plant and water, and he would allow us to pick, as the illustration is in the scripture, the fruit of four people that understand who Jesus is, what he's done for them, who they are, and what that means. Okay, that's the goal for 2017. Four people. That's one person per quarter. Could look at it like that. God may choose to give us one this year, and we'll praise him for it. He may choose to give us 10, and we'll praise him for it. But that's the goal that we want to pray for 2017, and I want you to commit to doing that here this morning. Now, this is really nothing new. If you forget about this, go to BrianDublin.com. And there's a page that says values. It's set a little bit different, but it's all there. This stuff is there, and it helps remind you. Glory of God, engaging the culture, intentional, you know, living. It's worded a little bit different, but it's basically these four things. If you forget, it's on the web, BrianDublin.com, our website. Now, it's healthy to have direction and goals. And so what I want to do this morning, as we close, is I want you to just take a few moments and the quietness of your own seat there for you to think about, as he mentioned in the video, have you seen the treasure? Or have you lost sight of Christ? Don't run dry. It's not about commit, commit, commit and running. It's about seeing the treasure. And when you see the treasure, you'll understand and know why it's important that we have the ministry of the Word and the fellowship of believers and prayer and meeting people and telling them about Jesus. May that be the fuel, the motivation for us as we pray and as we witness and as we meet together and share the ministry of the Word together here. So I challenge and commit you in 2017 to these four things. So if you'll just take a few moments right now and talk with God, examine your heart and your mind, see where you are, where you need to do better, and then would you commit to praying for these things, that you would expose yourself personally and corporately better, more ways in the ministry of the Word, in fellowship of the body, in different investing your giftings to other people, and praying, being part of prayer, and then meeting people and telling, and that prayer is invite five families, and then four meeting people and telling about Jesus. Four families or four individuals come to Christ. Will you do that? And then just in the next few minutes, bow your heads and close your eyes and just do that personally the next few minutes. Now, Father, we are going to march forward in your grace, in your spirit, in your power. We want to do that, God, with your blessing here in 2017. The right answer to the questions are that you own everything. And God, that thing that you own is every person, because we're all made in the likeness and in the image of God. And so because you own us, because you are our God, our Savior, we should live radically different lives. Lives that don't just exist. Radical planning, radical giving and living in 2017. And then help us, we beg you this morning, help us to do a good job of the ministry of the Word, of fellowship of the believers, of prayer, and of meeting people and telling them about Jesus individually and as a community of believers, as a body of Christ, as a church. God, do not allow this church just to exist. If we ever get there, God, just close us down. There's no reason for us to be a social club. There's no reason for us to just get together and go through Acts. Help us to live intentionally as individuals and as a church as we march forward in 2017. And we ask, God, that you would graciously allow five families to come and partner with us in 2017. That you would graciously allow us to see the fruit of eternal life picked, of salvation, of being of four individuals rescued from their sin and then added to this body of believers, and we get to see them grow in 2017. God, would we ask that humbly. Lord, we depend upon your grace and your power. These are the things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. We want to be instruments, though, in 2017 to this end. God, would you grant your blessing upon us? We'll look back in 2018, and maybe it won't be those numbers. It'll be less or more. And it's not going to be, if it's more because of us, it's going to be because of you. And it's not going to be less. It could be because of us, less. But Lord, we're going to praise you for whatever it is. And we're not going to look at ourselves as failures. We want to be challenged and we want to move forward. We got to have goals. Where there's no vision, we will die. And I don't want to die. We don't want to perish and shrivel and be useless. And so God, today is really a day of commitment and a time of commitment for us. Would you now, Lord, go with us and continue to bless us and use us in spite of who we are in 2017. And all God's people said, amen and amen.